Sports Day for Kia with Australia's best 7-year factory warranty.
Welcome to Sports Day. The teams are in, and we've got Caleb Sarong as the Round 8 rising star. And, of course, we also have another man who is maybe headed up to the tribunal. The good news is Elliot Yeo's been up before the tribunal tonight, and he has got off. Can you believe it? He has actually got off, everyone. What do you think about that on 922-11882? Good evening to you, Paul Hazelby.
G'day, Carl. Yeah, I can believe it. I think it's the right decision by the tribunal. He did state that it was a fend-off type motion, and the tribunal found that contact didn't warrant a ban. And I tend to agree with him. I think it was in motion, and I didn't think there was enough force to warrant a ban. But not such good news for Tom Hawkins. He deserves a week for the elbow to Luke Ryan. You can see him actually thinking about that motion. Got him in the jaw. It's intentional. High contact, low impact. We'll wait to see what the Geelong Cats do with that one. Both Langford and Daniel McStay, they accepted their suspensions from the MRP, Carl. But an eventful day.
Yeah, it was, mate. And for news headlines, carsales.com.au. We love cars. I was actually thinking about my prediction. My prediction for the weekend, Hayes. My weekend claim, yeah. Western Force will beat the Brumbies. Oh, how wrong was I? They didn't score.
And, no, very wrong.
Yeah, no, I was wrong there. So entirely wrong there. Perth Glory, we'll have a chat to Liam Reedy later on tonight, mate. They went down, unfortunately, too.
Yeah, they did. Another big strike, though, from our man. He's been in good form, Dane Ingham. We'll catch up with Liam Reddy a bit later in the show. But they need to start getting some 3 points, Carl, if they are to push up higher on the ladder.
Absolutely. Daniel Pratt not too far away. We're playing Beat the Boys tonight. So for those of you that want to play later on, stay tuned because you'll have a chance to win the Gage Roads pack that includes a carton of single fin, carton of Elby, a couple of stubby holders of Beanie, single fin and Elby beers thanks to the wonderful team at Gage Roads. Hayes' Automasters quiz. We've got so much to do tonight because we have been restricted with the amount of shows that we've got on during the week. We'll only have half an hour tomorrow night as well. So for those of you that love and enjoy Sports Day, we aren't sorry. What we are grateful for is that there is football going to happen here on 6PR, 26 games over the next 20 days, and keep your radio tuned to 882 6PR for your live sport. Car Sales, Australia's number one for cars. Some of the other news. Hayes, you were in the paper today. I picked up my newspaper off the lawn bright and early this morning, and there was a story about John Worsfold maybe going to the Freo Dockers. Have you got anything more you can add to that?
I do. I want to clarify some of the comments. I was asked yesterday whether John Worsfold would be a good fit for the Fremantle Dockers. Now, my answer to that is if he was interested and available and at the right price, we know there's going to be cuts to the football departments at all clubs, and both Justin Longmuir and Peter Bell were willing to entertain it, then to me, it's a no-brainer. He obviously, the senior coach has to be a willing participant with any model like this, but he's coached for 371 games as senior coach. He's got a premiership in that time. He's very well respected. He's got no ego. You do it for the right reasons. He's not an emotional guy. He's process driven. And I think 100% a conversation should occur. I'm not saying, and I was misquoted on this one, that Fremantle was super keen to explore it. I was misquoted on that. But if I was a Fremantle board member, absolutely 100% I would explore the possibility, have conversations with all the people involved. Because with his record, Carl, and you know him better than most, and we get the sense that he wants to get home to family. To me, if it all worked out and everybody was happy, it looks like a great fit.
Well, look, there's no doubt that he wants to get home and spend some time with his family after what is going to be a really strange footy season. I think we're all well and truly aware of that. I think what we also know, for those that know John Worsfold, is that he's keen to continue in a role in football. Now, whether that's in clubland as a coach or in some other role in football, I think, and look, I haven't spoken to him recently, but I think that he was pretty keen to get back and explore the options and the alternatives here in Western Australia. And look, if that doesn't happen here in WA, I think that there is maybe some overtures coming from South Australia from what I read in the paper today as well. But, I still think that that's going to be some time off before any of that unfolds. We've got to get through this football season first and give him some time off to assess what his alternatives are, if there is any. So 922-11882, if you are a Dockers fan and you have some thoughts on that on 922-11882, or if you went to the footy yesterday, I'd really love to know how you saw the game. From where I sat, it was an ugly old game, one of the games that was unbelievable in that it rained for the whole game. Hayes, caller of the day, by the way, listeners, is a $65 voucher. This is why it's worth picking up the phone on 922-11882. Caller of the day, $65 voucher to the Bottle-O. for your online liquor shopping, you visit shopmylocal.com.au. So a $65 Bottle-O voucher to give away tonight on 922-11882. What did you think of the Dockers, Hayes?
Well, I want to do a bit of a review on the Fremantle Dockers, and I was a part of the team that had the lowest ever score against the Adelaide Crows, 1-7,
oh,
I think we
you
kicked
were
it. They nearly had that, Carl. I was ready to pass the baton on to this new team, but it wasn't ideal. Tough conditions, we know that, but it's not all doom and gloom, I think, for the Fremantle Dockers. They have been decimated by injuries, and when you look at their defence, we certainly know that you're not expecting too much in that part of the ground. But with Luke Ryan, they have fought pretty hard down there as well. And when you are a young team, you don't have depth at the start of the year. So you lose a couple of key players, it does make you become vulnerable, and I think that's what we're seeing right now. I was surprised, though, at how poorly they handled the wet footy. It looked like, to me, Geelong had a dry footy at times with their handball away from stoppages, and they still wanted to kick it around at times, and Fremantle have introduced a new style this year. It's based on kicking, short kicking, and in the wet, they're reluctant to do that, and they did make a number of errors by hand and foot. I think it's a part of the game that they need to work on. More injuries, though, to come out of that game, but I think we know that it's ongoing down there at Fremantle. Review of the medical department and the training processes, and I think they have to have a good look at their list management strategy going forward. And I've just come up with some thoughts about some players that I would target, or types of players that I think the Fremantle Dockers need to target going forward. We'll start with the back line. They do have a number of key backs out, and they've got some quality. Hamling, Pierce, Logue, Ryan. Hayden Young's proven enough to me that he's going to be a good player. And when you have those guys like Hamling, Pierce, and Logue in particular, they're not all great ball users, so you need some smart players around them. I think Ryan does that, and also Hayden Young will do that. But they're missing a quick, agile, smart, rebounding defender. Somebody like Adam Saad or Caleb Daniels been really good, where they change the direction. They make decisions on the run. They're either good by foot or they can cut back and open up the field of play. Bashir Hooley's another one. Now, Wilson was supposed to provide that, but he's been a little bit off, and he's one that probably can improve. But he's a player that gets the ball quickly on the outside, but he's not that real cut back and change direction type of player that I think most defences are looking at. Hill is becoming a little bit unreliable with his injuries. And Hughes, DeMahon, Aish, Conker, they all provide depth, but if you bring all those other guys back in, they can't all play, and I think you need some speed and some skillful players to go in there. So that's my thoughts on the back line. Carl, you got any questions about some of those players and comments?
Look for me, Hayes, I just need Fremantle to get more out of, you know, their experienced group of players that they've recruited back into their footy club, and some of them aren't in the footy team and some are injured at the moment. So, you know, I look at a holistic perspective, and I know that you'll continue through your team, but, you know, Akers, Aish, Conker, Lobb, Matera, Wilson, who all played in the game on the weekend, and then Collier, who didn't play, McCarthy, who's not in the team, and Hogan, who's injured, they need to get a lot more out of that group of players, because at their best, they should
bound. Sports Day for Kia, with Australia's best 7-year factory warranty.
Try and get through as many calls as we can. A $65 voucher to the Bottle-O. If you're looking for a great liquor deal online for beer, wine, spirits, you can get them. And all you do is go shop my local, all one word, shopmylocal.com.au, and you'll find all of the details right there. Let's go to Mark and Margaret River. G'day, Mark.
Hey, how you going there, Carl? I thought I was just listening to the radio. I forgot I was on hold.
Hey, sorry.
John Worsfold. Look, I've got some good press on him that he's very keen to get to Fremantle, and has been very keen to get to Fremantle for a lot of years. And he's genuinely keen to see Fremantle do well. Like you said, for all the right reasons. He's, I'd love to see him there. But the other part of that press is, Fremantle won't take a call.
From John Worsfold.
That's your information, Mark?
That's my information. Fremantle just won't pick up the phone.
Yeah, well, that may well be the case. I mean, maybe they're not interested in the current crop there, and they've just invested in a young new coach, and, you know, they may, and, you know, I wouldn't doubt that in any way, shape or form, that they may want to just go it their own way, which is totally their, perfect way to approach it. So, and that may well be very, very true. And I think that if you have a look at what the Fremantle Dockers have got with their coaching ranks, you know, with Rock and Hale and Michael Pryor, you've got
there's
Joshy Carr, who's pretty much only been just brought back into that system. You know, they've got a nucleus of coaches. It's a matter of how many jobs are going to survive beyond the end of the season, Hayes. I mean, are all those guys going to actually survive, given there's got to be some big cuts to, you know, the coaching staff come the end of the season, pretty much?
I think they need to make some change. It's good that they brought some new blood in, but it's Ross Lyon's coaching group, isn't it, that did exist. And even prior to that, a lot of them were there with Mark Harvey. So I think, Justin, you know, as a coach coming in for the first year, you get a chance to work with them for 1 year and then make some more informed decisions going forward about who you would like. But, you know, if you put John Worsfold even as a senior assistant up against some of those names, you know, for me, it's a no-brainer because of his experience in the game and just his calmness. And I've had him before as a mentor when I was coaching at South Melbourne. It didn't work out too well for me when I left after 3 years. But he was fantastic as a mentor, very process-driven. Didn't try to give me advice on certain things about how to coach and game plan and things like that. It was more about what I wanted to be known for, what I want to stand for, and really just held me accountable to that. And I was forever grateful for the opportunity.
Let's go to Shane in Wanneroo. G'day, Shane.
Hey, mate. How are you? Just going to say it's a privilege to speak to both of you guys, both heroes of mine. And John Worsfold, instead of going to Essendon, should have, like, yeah, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, whatever it is now, should have just, like, done the whole Freo thing. Backed him up. But that's what's going to happen. It's going to happen. He will go to Fremantle in some stage.
He won't be the senior coach, and we're not advocating that it's going to be the senior
not at all. He won't be. But he, like you say, like you said before, if you call us before, he wants to get home, and perfect opportunity for him to get home and get back to the roots. Like, all you guys, Freo, look at Jacko. What's Jacko doing?
Well, Jacko's talking about it, Shane, and probably like me, mate, it's a lot easier talking about it than it is getting out there and doing it. I think Jacko's pretty invested in his business. He's got a work placement company that he's been working at hard for a number of years. I think he's enjoying his role at 6BR calling the games, mate, and you know, with his family and knowing how much he likes to go fishing and squidding. I don't think he'll be the one that'll be going down to start coaching anytime soon, to be honest. Let's go to Rob in Wanneroo. G'day, Rob.
Carl and Paul, Fremantle have been using Michael Walters more in a midfield role in recent times. Yes.
Yes, correct.
Right now, this is what I believe. I mean, I respect the coach and all the coaching staff. They should put in his twilight years now. He must be 27, 28, whatever the age is. He can. Put a defence of the opposition in disarray. I don't know why they do start putting back down in that forward line. And a night like last night, I reckon he was worth a couple of goals last night. If they just put him down there in the pocket half forward line and just thrived on the loose ball coming to the ground. Now, I know it's going to starve their midfield a little bit. But
they couldn't get it there, Rob, last night.
That's
been the issue, Rob, for a number of years. It's a real dilemma for the coach because he's brilliant in both positions, and you want to get the ball in there. And you know, clearances and field position has been a big issue for the Fremantle Dockers this year. But I mentioned that they need to find two forwards, and you're right. If they find more midfielders and you get all those players coming back in and Fife, then you do have that luxury, and he can become that type of player that I've just spoken about. And even Nathan Fife at the back end of his career, I'd love him to become that mid-size forward because I think he could kick two or three goals a game playing in that position.
Well,
maybe they both rotate
it?
50-50. It was
Mundy,
yeah.
They pushed Mundy forward, Rob. I mean, when you think about it, if you've got Mundy, Fife and Walters all in the forward line, and essentially on a perfect evolution with young midfielders coming through, which what Fremantle have invested in more recently. But sadly, mate, there was this massive gulf between the very good players, and I put Mundy in the very good. I thought that he was one of their best players again in what was a tough night last night, Rob. But that's the problem, mate. That's the problem.
But, guys, even when they did have Fife on the field and, you know, other players back, they're still rotating Walters as a midfielder, which, all due respect, he's a good little player, and he can get the ball quite easily, you know, with his talent. But I just feel like they just need that little crumber, like West Coast had Scotty Cummins and Phil Matera, and they had Rewalt and Milne at St Kilda. I think they're just missing that combination. When it comes to ground, they need that experienced little forward that can just snap and just, you know, like go to the ball and, you know, working with the big forward man up there.
Yeah, don't disagree with you. I think that everything that you said is 100% correct. But right now, because they have a lack of real quality, cream of the crop is probably the best way to put it. There's a lot of other teams that bat a lot deeper with their depth of talent right now. And, you know, Fremantle, I think, are a little way off, Rob. But you're 100% correct, and maybe something for the Freo Dockers coaching staff to consider. Quick one from Mouse before we head to the break. Mouse?
Hey, boys, how are you going? I just listened to all of that. Very good. Just before I mentioned the two beasts I was going to talk about, the Empire Bar pregame promo with Lecrae and Aussie the Eagle on Saturday, and then great Paul Haseby in Wellingham on Sunday afternoon. The WA Health Officer, I was heard him yesterday and today talking about the Chief Health Officer, Andy Robertson, talking about the Clive Palmer case, how if people came into the state, it would be unlikely they would bring COVID. But if that's going to happen, what is the contradictory about that? Why they can't have the stadium at full capacity? Because the people are already here. If they haven't got COVID, well, they surely not going to infect anyone. So let all the people go to the football, number one. Number two is, with regard to the umpiring, I've been watching the last couple of weeks, and I'm not an umpire basher, but St Kilda and Geelong both got very raw deals the previous round. But on the weekend, St Kilda got 10 frees against Port Adelaide, which they should never have got, and definitely influenced the game. And last night against Geelong, Fremantle, they got a numerous amount of frees that weren't given. So sometimes it's not the ones that are given, it's the ones that weren't given. And I remember Michael Walters, and I remember watching the TV commentary, they said exactly the same. Michael Walters, just after the Tabernacle goal, got a free kick, and the bloke threw the ball miles from him. Should have been straight away 50 metres. And just after that, he got another one where the bloke ran straight across his mark, and Fremantle have had a heap of them given against them this year. If they had got those two goals, they would have been right back in the game. So sometimes it's not all about the ones that are given, it's the ones that aren't given.
Yeah, look, it still doesn't make any difference to me, Mouse. You could have blown the whistle 45 times and got it right or wrong last night. It would have made any difference to the result. And overall, St Kilda was still good enough to kick 12 goals, one, and beat Port Adelaide. I don't care what anyone says. There's not too many times where umpires actually decide the final outcome of games. Yeah, they make mistakes. Everyone makes mistakes. As footballers, you make mistakes. As coaches, you make mistakes. The umpires, the players, and us, the crowd. As for your crowds, Mouse, the reason why they haven't got 60,000 there is because if they have to do contact tracing, mate, it's easier to do 30,000 than 60 at the moment. And I'm thankful that we're getting 30,000 there and we're coming home and we're not getting sick. And I would like to see that continue for at least the next
couple. Two.
Let's get into our WA AFL footy update. For your online liquor shopping, you visit shopmylocal.com.au. Daniel Pratt, I suppose you've been able to go and shop locally, mate, because you've been allowed out of quarantine. Thanks for joining us tonight.
No worries, guys. Yeah, two days out, so it's been good.
Yeah, I'm sure it has been, mate, and thank you for joining us tonight. And the good news is that, as we reported off the top of our program, that Elliot Yeo has got off. And are you surprised here or not that he's eligible to play, importantly, for you on the weekend?
I guess, seeing the vision, it's probably not a surprise, but it could have easily gone the other way. So, lucky this time, and sometimes we've in the past, we've been unlucky with a couple. So, we'll take this one.
It's good news, and it means you can roll on. The Harlem Globetrotters, you were called on the weekend. It was almost a complete performance. The goal king was amazing. The midfield led by Tim Kelly, Luke Shuey, Nick Natanui. The defence with some youngsters really standing up. And your two key forwards in Oscar Allen and Jake Waterman continue to improve. It was a really good performance.
Yeah, it was a good overall performance from the boys. And I guess, you know, we got a bit of a roll on, and you know, one thing led to another, and there was some good flow in the game. But you know, can't expect that to happen every week. So you know, we've got to keep getting our hands dirty to you know, get decent looks. And if that's the outcome at times, and that's good, but I don't think that's going to happen every week. So hopefully, people aren't expecting that this weekend.
We know you've got some ageing stars, but what the coaching group at Adam Simpson has done is integrate a lot of youngsters into this team. And as I mentioned, Oscar Allen and Jake Waterman, they're going to be important going forward when Josh Kennedy does give up the game. But I thought down back, some youngsters that I put my hand up, I wasn't sure whether he's going to make it. Jackson Nelson, his last month has been enormous since he's come in and got more opportunity since Lewis Jetta's got out. And you can throw Tom Collin to that boat as well.
Yeah, well, Coley's a premiership player, as is Duggan now. So, we expect those guys to play well every week. And Jacko played the first 10 games last year, and the previous year, 2018, and then he probably had a bit of a lighter run in the side. He was in and out, but his waffle form was always really good. And it was probably just the time it took to translate that form and in the state league into the AFL, which happens with young players all the time. So it's just a matter of when that transition happened, and we've seen some good form from him as well as Conley and Duggo over the last few weeks at halfback.
We've seen a few injuries come out of your squad. Jeremy McGovern, a late pull out in that game, listed as a test. What does he have to do this week? Is he any chance to play?
Yeah, he's a chance to play. Obviously, get to later in the week and he'll have a test again, and we'll see where that ends up, but hopefully we'll play.
Jack Petrocelli, hamstring injury. When did he sustain that? And also disappointing news tonight about Frankie Watson, who, when he plays, he's quite exciting, but an ACL injury for him.
Yeah, it's really disappointing for the footy club and everyone around when someone does an ACL. It's 12 months out, roundabouts. Hopefully it's a bit quicker, but he's been really good for us when he's come in the side. Frankie hasn't let us down, so it's disappointing that we lose a player who we can rely on, especially with this congested fixture that's coming up. And then on Petrocelli, I can't remember the exact how long ago it was exactly. It was maybe 3 weeks ago, but he did his hamstring, but he's been back running, so he's been testing our physios out on the track with his speed, and I don't think they like it too much.
Did you sneak into Optus Stadium last night and get a look at Geelong? Probably going to be different weather conditions coming up this weekend, although I haven't had a look at the forecast, what it's looking like for the 1st of August. But did you get in and have a look at them last night? And Tom Hawkins has been offered a one-week suspension, so we'll see what happens there. But they may be without their big cat, their most productive goal kicker.
Yeah, that's something that we can't control. Hawkins, what happens there, but it looks like he's out at the moment. And then, his form's been really good on that. But we went in Optus last night. There's no forward scouting allowed at the moment from the AFL, so we just have to wait for the vision to come through and watch for that, keeping everything equal across the competition, which is fair enough.
And when it comes to being, out of quarantine as you are now, what are you allowed to do with your players, mate? Have you been able to do anything different, or is it still only in your own groups and only that one contact session where you can get all together with the boys and you can't have everyone going at it? Is that how it still is from how it was before?
Yeah, things haven't changed within the four walls too much. The groups of eight or nine, I'm not exactly sure how many it is, but that's still being maintained. And, one contact session a week and drills, one contact drill or whatever it is, it's been a bit of a challenge for everyone to try and maintain the standards on game day with contest and then obviously get that balance right during the week. So, yeah, we're working through it, but so is everyone else. And the change hasn't been much since the quarantine's dropped. We've just been allowed to go and get a coffee on the way to work, which is probably something that I've missed the Nescafe Blend 42 has been going down too well. So been enjoying those morning coffees the last couple of days.
Well, Prady, I've got to say, that is the best kicking I've seen from an Eagles outfit for a long, long time. They were just nailing them from everywhere, and they were going dead straight. It didn't matter who was kicking them. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, it was one of those things that a lot of things were going right on the night and around the contest and winning the ball back and at stoppage, and then the boys were finishing it off in front of goal, but we can't expect that every week, and we're going to have to be really sharp this week against Geelong. They're a hard and contested team, and We've had some pretty good battles over the last couple of years, and the last two, they've got over us. So, we're going to have to be at our best, and we're going to have to take our opportunities like the boys did the other night.
Good job, mate. Thank you very much for talking to us tonight. Take care.
Too easy, boys. Have a good one.
Daniel Proud, assistant coach at the West Coast Eagles. Nice to have a chat to him, doing a good job. And if you're looking for a great liquor deal online for beer, wine or spirits, you can get them at shopmylocal.com.au. Hayes, our Repco player of the round for expert car service that you can rely on. You call repcoservice.com. Who's your player of the round?
Well, looking locally, the coaches couldn't split them. I couldn't split them. But we've come up with Tim Kelly. Josh Kennedy was amazing with his 7 goals. But it was Tim Kelly's best game for the West Coast Eagles, and maybe the best game that he's played in his career. He kicked the one goal, 30 disposals in a shortened format game, 10 score involvements, went at 90% disposal efficiency, 6 clearances, 3 goal assists, and also kicked a goal himself through the midfield. They were on fire, and he was a key reason. So for that reason, he gets the player of the round.
Good on you, Tim Kelly, winner there for expert car servicing that you can rely on. Repco authorised service. Find your local centre at repcoservice.com. We will be back with more after this here on Sports Day.
Sports Day for Kia, with Australia's best 7-year factory warranty.
If you'd like to have a dig at something or someone, don't dig yourself into a hole, lodge a free dial before you dig inquiry. You can do that now too. Let's go to Glenn in Spearwood. Maybe he wants to have a crack about the rules, do you? Glenn, how are you?
G'day, mate. Look, I know very little about football and probably a lot less about sport. But the reality, when it comes to mathematics, sport, victory goes to those who makes the less mistakes. Now, the important things in sport equates to 3 things: skill, stamina, and the ability to make less mistakes than the opposition. When you continually change the rules of the game, and you put pressure on to the umpires, goal umpires, field umpires, and observers that are doing, sitting up there in the box making decisions whether it was touched or whatever it might be. Once you start changing the equations extranumberly, then you've got a lot of problems, and it affects the game as an outcome. We look at things like the Constitution. It's been there for 100-and-whatever years, and we relate to it. Why do we continue to insist on changing the rules for what benefit at the end of the day? All you're doing is putting misnomers in place that exacerbate the problems in regards to mistake creations, and it buggers up the game.
You make some good points. It's harder to umpire and officiate. There's no doubt about that. But unfortunately, what has happened in our game is that it has been changed by strategy brought in by a lot of coaches over the last 15 years, I'd say. Probably 2003, we first introduced a lot of rotations into the game, and then we had the floods, and then we have the presses now. We saw Clarko's cluster and what he was able to do for 3 premierships as well. The spectacle is not as good, in my opinion. And for that reason, I think the AFL has been forced to make some tweaks to it. For me, I still think they've got a way to go, but to get there, they're going to have to make some further changes, which is going to frustrate more people like you, Glenn. It's a pretty tough conundrum I think the AFL has right now, but the AFL coaches, for mine, have certainly played a part, Carl.
Yeah, if you want to have a dig at them right now, mate. I wrote about them in the Sunday Times, because the only way you're going to clean all of this up, all the stuff that people hate, is if the coaches change the way that they instruct their players to play. Let's go to Murray and Hillary's. G'day, Muzz.
Hey, Carl, how you going, mate?
Yeah, not bad.
And Paul. Paul, I'd like to disagree with you regarding the players you said we need. I think the only 3 players we're missing is Hamlin, Alex Pearce and Logue. That just changes the whole team. I think it'll just, you can't, I mean, it's like saying that if the West Coast Eagles were missing McGovern, Hearn and maybe Barras. How good would they be going?
Yep, you make a good point. I still think they need some of those other players that down back. They've been fighting gamely with Luke Ryan, who's been in terrific form. That would shore them up a bit, but I still think one more midfielder, and in the forward line, small forwards, I think they're lacking in polish and class. Add those in, that will be the final frontier, and hopefully the Dockers can then work their way into finals and then premiership contention.
And as I said earlier, Hayes, if they can get more out of those seasoned campaigners, Akers, Aish, Conker, Lobb, Matera, Wilson, Collier, McCarthy, Hogan, when he's back fit, then that'll make a whole heap of difference as well. And maybe Connor Blakely, who's been around for a while too. I know that he's still only young in years, but he's played a fair bit of footy, and for whatever reason he's been out of the team. But if he can fight his way back into that side and play really good footy and hold his spot, and if those other guys can just increase their output by another 10-15%, then that team can start to function a hell of a lot better. Let's go to a quick one from Adam in Stratton. G'day.
Hello, Carl and Paul. Good to talk to you. What happened to the Eagles the other day? They found a new way of playing the game that was very good, the way they played. And I'm glad Elliot Yeo didn't get put off. You know, I feel happy about that, and they should win on Saturday.
They should.
I went to the Woolies the other day, last Saturday, I think it was, and I was looking at some nice chocolates there. I love chocolates, and somebody yelled out from the back. He yelled out, he said, no good for you. And he was a friend of mine, and so I said to him, I said, I hope the West Coast Eagles can beat Collingwood on that day. And then I met him again this morning there looking at some plantains. I love those bananas. And him and his wife walked past me. And he said to me again, he said, that's no good for you. So what is good?
There's nothing much that's good for you anymore, Adam. Just back to your thing on the Eagles. It was, as I just said to Daniel Pratt just prior to the previous break, I mean, it was unbelievable, their kicking. I don't know if you've seen kicking like that before, Hayes, but that was one out of the box, wasn't it?
It was. Best I've seen from them for a long time.
Yeah, it was quite incredible. And when you consider that when you've got the likes of Yeo and others that are now going to be available for them, that makes selection even more difficult, given that McGovern might come back into that team. We need to clear a commitment. On the other side, we'll do some injuries for SKG Radiology. Let's get into our injury report for SKG Radiology. They care about your welfare and are now bulk billing. What do you got, Hayes?
We'll start with the Adelaide Crows. Brad Crouch, he's out with a hamstring 2 to 3 weeks. Tom Duday, who missed the second half, he's a test with a hamstring, but I think he'll miss as well. At Brisbane, Ryan Lester, a hamstring injury as well. Daniel Rich, also a hamstring strain. At Carlton, Mitch McGovern, guess what, Carl? Hamstring for him, 2 to 3 weeks. At Collingwood, it was their skipper before the game, Scott Pendlebury, 2 to 3 weeks with a quad strain. At the Bombers, they have a big injury list. Fantasia didn't play on the weekend, but it has been announced he's out for 3 to 4 weeks with a calf injury. Jaden Laverde, 6 to 8 weeks with the ankle syndesmosis injury. He's become a pretty important player for the Bombers, so they will be tested. At Fremantle, well, Brennan Cox pulled out late. Sean Darcy, hamstring. Darcy Tucker, hamstring. Michael Walters, we wait on the scans with his hamstring as well. They did say cramp after the game, but I'm not falling for that. And Luke Ryan also went for tests today. Find out more in the coming days. Fife, Hogan, Sturt, all tests for the Dockers. Geelong and Gold Coast, they were pretty good across the weekend. At the Giants, Callum Ward, Zach Williams will be both test this weekend. At the Hawks, Luke Bruce, Tom Segler, Tim O'Brien, all tests. Jarman Impey has now played 3 games back from his ACL. He's ready to go. They need a player like him, the Hawks. At Port Adelaide, Todd Marshall, 6 to 7 weeks with a thumb. Scott Lysett is a test for this weekend. St Kilda, Dan Hannabury, unlucky again, possibly season-ending, the news around his hamstring. The Sydney Swans, Dane Rampey, test with his hand, played out the second half. Will Haywood, a test. And at the West Coast Eagles, McGovern, listed as a test, of course, a fractured thumb that he needs to overcome, needs to train this week. And Archie, the other test for the West Coast Eagles. And Jack Bricciacelli, a hamstring injury, 3 to 4 weeks. Clearly, he's done that in training or in the scratch match on the weekend. And some bad news announced tonight. Frankie Watson, an ACL at training. That's a big one. Let's hope that he can get back from that, because he showed a bit of promise as a player.
Yeah, and Archie Smith also at Brisbane. The only bloke that's left now is big Oscar McInerney. He's out for 6 weeks, Archie Smith, after playing on the weekend and again succumbing to that syndesmosis injury, which seems to be becoming far more common in AFL play. Does SKG Radiology care about your welfare and are now bulk billing all Medicare rebatable services during this COVID-19 pandemic? Okay, time for Beat the Boys out of the 7 o'clock news. Your chance to try and beat me, because Paul Hazelby got rolled. He went for his old purple army and sadly didn't get the chocolates. But we will try and see whether we can get back on track. You have beaten us 2 from 2, listeners. This is your chance to make it 3 from 3. We'll take caller number 17, a Gage Roads pack is up for grabs, which includes a carton of Single Fin, a carton of LB beer, a couple of stubby holders and a beanie. Single Fin and LB beer, all thanks to Gage Roads. Go to it, 922-118-82. Caller number 17 and beat the boys after the news here on Sports Day.
Sports Day for Kia with Australia's best 7-year factory warranty.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Nice to have your company. Just repeating some of the earlier news. Of course, Tom Hawkins has the right to appeal his one-week penalty, and that was done, of course, by Elliot Yeo, and he is now going to be available to play because he was successful. Others to accept their penalties today. Daniel McStay accepted 2 weeks, and Neville Jetta. And Kyle Langford accepted his 1 week suspension that he was offered. So that was just some of the other news that happened today. As we get into Beat the Boys, and before we jump into that, I thought Rob of Wanneroo was great with his call about Michael Walters discussing, the situation about him playing up the field. He'd love to see him down in the forward line, just left down there because he reckons he could have been the difference. He may be right. So Rob of Wanneroo wins himself the $65 voucher to the Bottle O, and we'll see whether John of Ferndale, who was lucky caller number 17, can take home the Gage Rhodes pack tonight. Hayes, the Carton of Single Fin, the Albie, the Stubby, the Beanie, and we'll see whether he's good enough to knock us off, all thanks to Gage Rhodes tonight.
Oh, good prizes. Welcome, John. How are you, mate?
Good, thank you, Hayes. Good evening, Carl. How are you, gentlemen?
We're good now. Who do you go for, John?
West Coast since day one.
All right, you're pretty happy at the moment. Well, we kick off with Wednesday night football, the football feast that is coming our way, 20 straight days. The ins for the Western Bulldogs, Sam Lloyd, Toby McLean. Out goes Callum Porter. He's injured and Lachie Young has been omitted. They're playing the Tigers, this game at Metricon Stadium for the Tigers. Some big ins. Trent Cotchin returns from his hamstring strain. Oleg Markov, Jack Ross and young Sydney Stack is back from the wilderness. And we look at the outs for the Tigers. Jack Graham, he's been omitted alongside Patrick Naish. Daniel Rioli, the big name there, omitted. And Nick Vlosten, a big injury. Another big injury for the Tigers. He is injured. Okay, you know how to play, John?
Just run it by me again, if you don't mind.
Well, you've got to give us who you think will win, and you have to have at least one different to the great Carl Langdon.
Yeah, and obviously you have to go, and unfortunately you get to go second, so I'm going to tip. Yeah, I'm going to tip first, and then you've got to pick up and try and roll me, mate. Okay, so, and you would have got me last week, pretty much. I think there was three or four that I got wrong, Hayes. I think I only got five overall, and sadly
me
for
too.
Hayes, the
tough
one
round.
That, yeah, sadly for you, the one that you went different was the one that got you. Anyway, looking at this game, look, the Western Bulldogs have been playing much better footy. Richmond, I thought, from the way that they played on the weekend against the Giants, hung in there. They previously were in their contest against North Melbourne very, very good. But the Western Bulldogs have turned the corner the last couple of weeks. And whilst they just fell over the line, I've just liked a lot of what they've been beginning to do. A lot of change at Richmond, as Hayes has reported. So for me, I am going to stick with the Western Bulldogs tomorrow night at Metricon Stadium.
Sixth position playing ninth position. What about you, John? Who are you going for?
I was going to pick the Bulldogs as well.
Okay. I'm going to go the Bulldogs as well. I think they're playing some good footy and too many outs for the Tigers at the moment. And that's going to make it harder for the Tigers to play finals footy if they don't win that one.
So, Thursday, John, are you definitely going for the Bulldogs?
I am, yes. Yes.
Righto. Just making sure.
Yeah. Thursday night, it's the Demons, 13th position on the ladder at the moment. Port Adelaide on top. They were disappointing on the weekend, Port Adelaide. Who are you going for here, Carl?
Well, Port Adelaide, I think, can bounce back, but Melbourne a little bit like the Western Bulldogs, and West Coast too, if you want to include them in this conversation, because they got off to a really slow start. They blew Hawthorn away. That's probably something that a few teams have done. And Melbourne really hung in there against one of the top teams, Brisbane, on the weekend. And I think that, when you look at the form of Oliver, Petrarca, Viney, they've been playing some pretty good footy. Langdon, May down back's been getting a fair bit of the ball. They just need to find some more avenues to goal. Bailey Fritz has been a reliable avenue to goal, but they haven't had too much success there. Look, I think Port Adelaide would have got the jolt that they needed last week. And I think that heading back up to the Gabba, where they had some really good success previously before they ventured home, will be something that will see them reign supreme. So Port Adelaide for me.
Where do you sit, John?
Yes, I agree with you, Carl.
I'm going an upset here. I think Melbourne can win this one, not on their home deck, but they're not playing away against Port Adelaide in Adelaide. And I think Wiedemann showed some positive signs too. He took some marks, Carl. He's just got to finish and kick those goals. So I'm going Melbourne an upset in that one. Friday night, we have two games, one here at Optus Stadium. Would you believe Carlton, 11th position, taking on the Hawks in 15th, 3:40 p.m. This game's kicking off. Who you like, Carl?
Yeah, well, I don't think you can tip Hawthorn at the moment, but this is the sort of game that you'd probably expect that they jump up and win. Because, you know, as soon as you write someone off in this caper, this is when you jump out and you get burnt. And look, Carlton, whilst they did a lot right, they just fell over the line against the North Melbourne side that was hardly functioning up to that point. But I've liked the form in the last couple of weeks of Walsh. I think that they've certainly turned the wheel with some blokes like Kennedy and Setterfield playing a lot more time in the midfield with Murphy and Kerno. The old stages there. Jack Martin's been jumping around up forward. I think the big issue that they've got right now is Mackay and now McGovern are both injured. Now, they are two of their key forwards that I think had been adding to that, you know, dynamic mix up forward. But I'm going to stick with the Blues.
Righto, John. Yourself?
For me, I think Clarko will arc him up, and in the new stadium, I shall back the Hawks.
All right, there's the first different choice. I like the Hawks too. They've let me down the last couple of weeks, but I'm going to go with Carlton. I think Paddy Cripps will get a number of free kicks this week because he wasn't treated very well on the weekend against North Melbourne. And sometimes, as Mao said before, there is a catch-up factor, and I reckon the umpires will be looking at that quite closely. I think the Hawks can easily cause an upset, but I'm going to stick with the better-performed Carlton at this stage. We then go to the next Friday night game, the Bombers taking on the Brisbane Lions. This will be a beauty. Seventh place, second. Carl, you start.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, Essendon and Brisbane both just got the job done last week. Although Essendon's injury list is starting to grow, Brisbane's is still really short, and this is the concerning part. They've now lost Hooker. He's on the sidelines. They've had some issues now with Valverde out for 6 or 8 weeks, and he'd be a player that would have been able to bob up and kick a few goals for them. They rely so much at the moment on, I think, too few. You know, Merritt, McGrath, Parrish, Zaharakis, Langford's been suspended. So for me, I am going to, I reckon this is probably the strongest I've felt out of all the games I've just tipped. I reckon that Brisbane are the best of the teams that we've talked about so far. So Brisbane to beat Essendon.
Johnny, do you agree?
I disagree. I'm going for another upset. I'm going to the Bombers.
Okay, the Bombers there. No, too many injuries for me for the Bombers. I've liked what they've put on the park this year, but I think there is a tipping point, and they're going to get there this weekend. So the Lions, for me, we head to Saturday, the first game. It is the North Melbourne side taking on the Adelaide Crows. Blockbuster this one, Carl. 17th taking on 18th.
Yeah, well, look, and you look at North Melbourne's injury list. I think there's 14 players I counted on prior to the news, Hayes, when you were reading out that injury report for SKG Radiology. And some good players like Zeeble and Cunnington, some first-pick players that aren't there. But then you look at Adelaide, and Brad Crouch is now not available. He goes out. Look, I've sat here, and I'm going to get out a coin, and I'm going to throw it on the desk, and I'm going to say heads, and heads is North Melbourne. So I'm going for North Melbourne.
North Melbourne, you, John?
I'm with you, Carl. I'm just thinking it's 2020.
Yeah, North Melbourne for me. Next game is St Kilda. They take on the Sydney Swans, 4th v 14th. They've been impressive, the Saints.
Yeah, they have. But look, Sydney are again, they're capable. They've had to change a few things around because of lack of personnel. It's good to have Reid back. I think that, you know, he gives them a little bit more stability down the middle of the ground, which is an area that they've been waning a little bit. And Rampy played his best game for the season. Parker got back to some form. Clark, Florent, Cunningham, Rowbottom, one of the young players. Mills is playing some good footy. They miss Heaney. But yeah, I'm thinking that, given how St Kilda are going, you tipped them to be one of the risers, Hayes. They're certainly doing that. So let's stick with the Saints. Go with the form.
They are. I like the Saints too. John, anything different?
I took the Saints from me, please.
Okay. West Coast Eagles, 5th position taking on the Almighty Cats. 3rd position, big percentage boosts in their game yesterday. Where are you heading here, Carl?
Well, Yo comes back in, and now potentially Big Tommy Hawkins goes out. He kicked, what, 3 of their 6 goals the other night in what was treacherous conditions. And look, West Coast played some slick footy the other night. If they can reproduce that effort, they beat Geelong. West Coast.
John?
Yep, West Coast.
Okay, the Suns take on the Giants. This will be a beauty. 10th v 12th to the loser. I think they're probably done for finals footy. I tend to head towards the Giants, but we'll start with you, Carl.
Yeah, Giants last week. I think that their game against Richmond and even the one against the Brisbane Lions, they were in that game for a long time, but there was just, I think, some structures in the middle of the ground that let them down, and defensively they were letting it waltz out of that forward line a bit too easy and didn't take their opportunities. So I'm thinking the Giants can continue on their winning way, and unfortunately for the young Gold Coast side, even though it's at Metricon, I mean, that's the thing that will be in their favour, but the Giants, for me, should be winning this.
John, you going to be brave?
I think Stuart Jew will have some stern words, and I'll back Stuart Jew's boys.
Yeah, good call. And we finish with the Dockers taking on Collingwood. We know there'll be a few outs for the Dockers, but likewise for Collingwood, who are coming off a very disappointing loss against the Eagles.
Yeah, and Collingwood, mate. Collingwood will, Dockers cannot keep losing two or three blokes and be expected to win, and I think they're doing pretty well to get as close as they have, to be honest. So, for me, Collingwood.
John, you're going to settle?
I'm with you, Carl.
Okay, three different. Carl had Carlton, John had Hawthorne, Carl had Brisbane, John had Essendon, Carl had the Giants, John had Gold Coast Suns. It's going to be a cracker of a weekend. It kicks off tomorrow night. Well played. Thanks for your time, John. Good luck over the weekend.
Thank you, guys.
All right, and every single week we'll be rolling this in. We'll try and find a window of opportunity next week, and that will probably have to be on a Monday as the games get underway. We might have played a game by then, but anyway, we'll play the game anyway because we want to give you a chance to try and win something on us, thanks to the wonderful team at Gage Roads. Now, the Automasters quiz, Hayes, great service guarantee. Call 1-300-AUTOMASTERS.
Yeah, Reece is ready to go. He's been waiting on the line. How are you, Reece?
Thanks.
Okay, you know how to play. You just got to answer the question. Could be one, could be six.
Sure.
Okay, question number one. Who has the most disposals so far this season for the West Coast Eagles?
I'm going to go with Yeo.
Elliot Yeo is incorrect. Incorrect. Thanks for playing, Reece. If you know the answer to this question, now is the time to call. Just some other news, Carl. 500 test wickets. Stuart Broad, he took it this morning. What a player he's been. He's a bit of a nemesis, isn't he, against Australia? But in all honesty, not too many get to 500, only the absolute champions of the game. And he joins James Anderson as the two English over 500 wickets.
Yeah, unbelievable. If you know the answer to that question that Hayes just asked Reece, then you will win the $150 Automasters service voucher. That's what I'm going to say. So call through now and be quick, 922-1182. That's a wonderful effort, isn't it, hear that. Look, we didn't have much of a dig earlier, Hayes, but one bloke that I'm sure is going to be facing the wrath, and I'm assuming that young Daniel Adkins will be okay, but it was Huey Bowman's ride on the weekend. Sadly, Adkins was injured, and he's going to be a little while before he'll be able to speak to the stewards before they're going to able to determine a penalty. But that ride didn't look good, Hayes, on the weekend from what I saw.
No, it didn't look good. The horse did get out. It pushed out and obviously forced the horse to collapse and was later euthanized as well. Hot and Hazy was the name of the horse. But Huey Bowman went on to win the race. But no, he wouldn't have liked to see that. It's not easy for jockeys, but sometimes they do push the boundary a little bit too far. Okay, let's go to Damien in Ellenbrook. Here's the question. Who has the most disposals for the West Coast Eagles this season so far? How are you, Damien? Do you have the answer?
Yeah, good. Thanks, mate. Is it Tim Kelly?
It is not Tim Kelly. Let's go to Kenneth in Stratton. How are you, Kenneth?
Hey, guys. How you going?
Good, mate. You know the answer?
Is it Andrew Gaff?
It is Andrew Gaff. 196 disposals he has for the West Coast Eagles, which is third in the competition. Lloyd from Sydney, second, and the great Lachie Neal on top so far.
Unbelievable. So there you go. So stay on the line. That is a $150 Automasters voucher coming your way, Kenny, out there in Stratton. You switch and save on your next Automasters service with over 40 branches. You call 1-300-AUTOMASTERS. Now, we've had a chat about the footy already tonight. We're going to do it a little bit more next because we're going to have a chat to the Round 8 Rising Star. He comes out of the Frio Footy Club. It'll be nice to have a chat to Caleb Sarong. We'll find out how he's been enjoying himself out there. And Liam Reddy is also going to join us from Hub Life over there on the East Coast in advance of the Perth Glory's next game. That coming up next here on Sports Day. Stay with us. Welcome back to Sports Day. Nice to have this man on the radio. His name is Caleb Sarong, and he is officially the Round 8 rising star in the AFL. Well done, mate. Congratulations.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Now, I don't know about you, mate, but I don't reckon I've ever broadcast a game of footy or even played in my life in a game of footy where it rained all day, didn't stop. I know that at times it wasn't heavy, but it didn't stop. Have you?
Down in country Victoria, it gets rainy a fair bit, but not a game like that. And it was, especially yesterday, you wake up, you see the sun out, no clouds in the sky, beautiful day all day, and it gets to 5:30, half an hour before the game, and it starts raining, and just doesn't stop for the whole game. So it was a weird one, but I think we all knew that it was going to be quite wet and coming into the game, so we were kind of prepared for it, but yeah, it was a tough game, it was a tough slog, very contested game, but personally, for me, I kind of enjoy those conditions, so I didn't mind it too much, just had to try and embrace it.
I reckon you might have been smiling when you saw the forecast. What about the matchup on Patrick Dangerfield? Was that always meant to be with the injury early to Darcy Tucker? And what did you learn from the great man? He's a great player, it was a good contest, but you shaded him on the night, I thought.
Yeah, well, I found out during the week that there's been times where I've gone to some players that have kind of been playing well during the game, so just kind of the stoppages and stuff like that. But Josh Carr came up to me, I think it was Thursday morning, and mentioned, or maybe Friday morning, mentioned that I'm going to go to him from the first bounce and just kind of see if I can nullify his impact. And it's fair to say I had a few restless nights sleep. It was pretty daunting. I was pretty nervous going to the game, but I had a lot of help from the teammates covering off at times, and it was a massive challenge. I learned a lot. He's a great player. He's been one of, if not the best player in the comp for a few years now. So to play on him for the game definitely took a lot out of it. And just grateful to be able to learn from him.
Was there anything specifically that stood out in the way that he plays? He's one of those players that's very quick to get back onto his feet. He's so quick at doing that as well. And got you a couple of times in the air. It's a great strength to have for midfielders.
Yeah, definitely. He's just never out of the contest. If he's not getting that first possession, he's always around the ball, getting into the vision of his teammates, and he's never out of it. So, and they always give it to him. So I guess to me, it was just never kind of getting sucked in the contest or trying to just make sure I'm always like 100% concentration, because if you lose it for a split second, he's off and he's getting the ball and he's breaking away because of his speed and power. So there was a couple of times, he got me in there. He's very good in the air. He's a big unit, so I definitely learned a lot in terms of that aspect, and he took me deep a couple of times and I got pretty nervous, but I'll learn a lot, just especially about the 100% concentration, just not kind of letting off at any time, because he can hurt you pretty quick.
What were some of the main messages from Justin Longmuir after the game? At times it looked like they were using a different football, the Cats. They were pretty clean around the clearances, and Fremantle unfortunately fumbled, and some missed tackles that cost you goals at crucial times as well.
Yeah, I guess for us, we've been doing a lot right. It's just that consistency. At times our contest was really good, and at times they got on top and surged the ball forward, and that allowed them to own field position and set up behind the ball with guys like Harry Taylor and Tom Stewart behind the ball, and it was hard to penetrate when those guys are set up. So I guess for us, it's just learning from that and backing our system in again to get the job done next week. And just that consistency I think is a big one for us at the moment. Young crew, just learning the system, and I think we just need to really embrace the contest and keep embedding our system and working hard on that.
Even if you had dry weather, getting it inside 50 only 27 times is going to be difficult to win many games of footy. And look, you've lost a few soldiers again, Caleb. It's, I know, an issue when it comes to your big man department. Now you've lost a couple potentially in your midfield. Of course, Darcy Tucker went down real early, and Michael Walters, we're still waiting for the outcome of the scans on his hamstring as well. But that gives another opportunity. Who is likely to be in the lineup for the game against Collingwood this week, mate, or who's a chance to play? Do you have any of the other young blokes that you've been rubbing shoulders with who might be a chance?
Yeah, I think a lot of the, especially our midfield group, we've got a really deep young midfield core at the moment, and there's definitely guys pushing for selection. Like Connor Blakely's been there about for, I think, every game for the year so far. He's been training really well, working really hard. So if he comes in, I've got no doubt that he'll come and play his role. And there's younger guys like Mitch Croden and Lukey Valenti that are both playing really well at the moment as well in those second games and pushing their case forward as well. So there's plenty of guys there, and I've got no doubt that whoever does come in will be able to come in and play their role for the team and do what the team needs of him.
Like you, the club invested a lot in Liam Henry. What's the status for him at the moment? Because he's a player that I mentioned just before that I think he's going to be critical for the future if he can come in and play that forward and also midfield role.
Yeah, he's a great player. He's got out in the track the last couple of weeks, and you can just kind of see in those games that his confidence is building in his body over the last couple of weeks in every game he plays and every training session he does. So I just remember seeing the first time I kind of played against him was last year in the Nationals, and he was his best on in that grand final and really tore us up. So I've experienced firsthand how good he is, and I've got no doubt that he's going to be a great player for the club in the future. And yeah, can't wait until he gets a bit of consistency in his body and out in the track. And yeah, he's going to be a really exciting player for us.
How does it feel for you and your teammates to be finally out of quarantine, free to do what you like? Is that the case now? What are you able to do? And it's been a long wait, I imagine.
Yes, yeah. It's for me, it's the second time I've done the 2-week quarantine, coming back from Victoria after the shutdown period as well. So I'm kind of used to it. I've spent a month just inside, so I'm kind of getting used to it now. But it's definitely good to be able to get out and go do things like go to the beach and get a takeaway coffee and stuff like that. But there are still some AFL protocols we're following, and the same as everyone else in the hubs and stuff like that. So we'll have to do a few things, like go to the beach and get takeaway food and stuff like that. But we're still restricted in terms of what we can do outside of that. But we all know that that's what needs to be done at the moment to get footy, to keep footy going. And we're really excited just to get the season, to keep the season going and get it locked away.
Yeah, and we can't wait for tomorrow, mate, because we've got, 33 games in 20 days. And Hayes and I can't wait because we're junkies and we love watching footy, whether it's you boys in action or all the other teams. Now, Freo take on Collingwood. Your game's not scheduled until Sunday, and then you go into a bye. Collingwood obviously had their colours lowered by West Coast, and it just shows that if you can put everything in action, in motion, and get all those cogs working together, what you can do. The kicking from West Coast was unbelievable on the weekend.
Yeah, I didn't watch too much of the game, but by the sounds of it, they played a great brand of footy, and I think West Coast have been building the last couple of weeks, and they're a great side. So, and as a Collingwood, as they've showed all year in the last couple of years, how good they are. So I think we're really excited about the challenge. They're another great team, and we're really excited about coming up against them and seeing what we can do and kind of embedding our system again next week. But yeah, we're going to have to be on our A game, that's for sure. They're a great team, and but yeah, it did show that they are beatable, and we're really excited to go up against them this week and see what we can do.
Caleb, hard for you to comment on this. You've only been at the club for 5 minutes, but more injuries to the club, as Carl mentioned before. Have you changed anything with your training sessions? Clearly, it's a different year. We know that you can't do your normal sessions, but over the last month or two, have you tried to do anything a little bit different?
Personally, I've just kind of been... I'm a young bloke, so I don't really know what in-season programs and stuff look like, so I've just kind of been following what the other boys have been doing, and I've kind of been working pretty closely with the boys like Andy Brayshaw and Adam Chera in terms of recovery and prehab and stuff like that. So they're really professional guys, so I've kind of been following their footsteps and learning a lot from them. But personally, I think everyone from the medical staff to the high-performance staff are working really hard. They've done everything they can, and all the boys are working really hard and preparing as well as they can. So I'm not really sure. I'm probably the wrong person to ask, and I'm not an expert in that field, but I think everyone's doing everything they can. And for us, I think with the injuries, it brings some opportunity for some younger guys. And I think it's shown the last few weeks that the young guys are coming up and stepping up and able to play the role. So I've got no doubt if we do need some more younger boys to come up in the next week or two, they're up for it and ready to go.
Can you control Adam Treloar for me this week, if you wouldn't mind? Would that be okay? He plays fantasy footy against a few of my mates, and he's been getting far too much of the ball. Far too much of the ball, Caleb, yeah. So I want you to take him down for me, buddy. Thank you, mate. Great to chat.
No worries.
Good on you, mate. Caleb Sarong, nice young fella, as you've heard everyone, and played a great brand of footy and thoroughly deserved Hayes, his Round 8 Rising Star nomination.
He could win it. We know a couple of the big names have gone out injured, so if he keeps up that form against some of the best players in the competition, I think he's a chance. And what I love about Justin Longmuir is that he throws these guys into their positions. I think in the past, Ross Lyon, through a development period, he was putting a lot of them on the edges at half forward, on the wings, half back with Cherem Brayshaw. Longy's just bitten the bullet, put them in there. That's best for their development, best for the team's development long term, and they're taking their chances. And those three players in particular have rewarded Justin for the faith.
All right, we'll come back after this and get into our Perth Glory update here on Sports Day. Welcome back to Sports Day and our Perth Glory update. Hyundai A-League, where heroes are made, a man that was almost our regular last season, Liam Reddy, joins us here on Sports Day. In fact, it was probably earlier this season, given that we've had such a long break, Liam. It feels like last season, mate. How are you going?
Yeah, I'm going good, Will. It has been a long year, or season, I suppose. Yeah, we're obviously still trying to finish it off. But, yeah, over here in New South Wales in the hub. And, looking forward to our next game on Thursday, I think it is.
You got the job done against Central Coast, but not so good on the weekend. What went wrong?
Yeah, I think the performance was improved, actually, against Wellington from the Central Coast performance, and just a couple of little things didn't go our way, and obviously a little lapse in concentration defensively, and you know, obviously just lacking that final pass in the last third. But, you know, there was a definitely improved performance from our performance against Central Coast, so things are definitely looking good.
The coach was pretty happy, just wanted a quicker ball movement, less errors, and they punished you, didn't they? You made two bad errors, and they went past yourself as the goalkeeper, and also more possession yourselves as a team and more shots on goal. So there was improvement. But Dane Ingham, two in a row, how about that from a defender pushing down? Has this surprised you with his goal-scoring ability?
Yeah, he has actually. But you know, he gets in, you know, good situations, and you know, we want our wingers to be up and attacking and join in with attack. So you know, he's done well, and both goals he's taken really well, and you know, really happy for him because he's come back. He's had he got injured very early in the year, and I think it was his first or second session when he got over here, and he had a bit of a setback there, and he worked himself extremely hard to get back involved. And obviously, then going into quarantine, everyone went home. He stayed home and he worked hard on his game and his fitness, and he's come back in really good shape. So he's got the just reward.
It's a good story and part of the defensive setup. How have you found that new defensive setup with himself and Malik and Wande and Franchik going through there? Alex Grant playing a bit higher, and, of course, Greg Rutrich, the other player who didn't come back from overseas. Have you been happy as a defensive group?
Yeah, look, obviously happy to get a clean sheet against Central Coast. Disappointed to concede two the other night. But, look, everyone that's come in has done really well, and we improved, you know, our game in terms of the game before Central Coast. Obviously looking to again improve again against Adelaide and hopefully get back to keeping clean sheets.
What about for you as a goalkeeper? Do you have sleepless nights about some goals that get through? The Callum McCowart goal just got underneath you. Would you do anything different? Do you review that and say, I could have done better there or not?
I'm having no sleepless nights. My three kids are back in WA, so I'm sleeping quite fine over here. But no, look, obviously, disappointed to concede. And, you know, it was a bit of a sucker punch in terms of they only had the one chance and they scored. So, you know, we're working extremely hard as a defensive unit and as a team to nullify them to you know, really having a nothing.
We missed you last week. 300 games you played. You must be super proud of your achievement. You've been just about to most clubs in the competition, but 300 as a goalkeeper. How did it make you feel?
Yeah, it was something probably I'll look back on when I finished playing, but it was a really good feeling, obviously, to play the game. It's been a little bit of time getting here. I mean, I was penciled in to play against Western United at home, you know, a couple of months ago, but obviously it was Central Coast away or at home, but away. It was good to get the 3 points and a clean sheet, so it'll be a fond memory, the 300 game.
Congratulations from us. Now, what about going towards Adelaide United on Thursday? Do you envisage any changes, any injuries within the squad? It's going to be a cracking game because they're right behind you and you need this win just to make sure you cement your spot in the finals.
Yeah, we've got no injuries. Everyone's fit, so we've been training, and we'll do a little bit more again tomorrow and Wednesday. So everyone will be up for selection, and depending on what the boss wants to do, everyone will be fit and ready to go.
You are unbeaten in your last four regular season meetings with the Reds, and what about that magnificent, unforgettable semi-final clash at HBF Park? That will be one that you'll remember for a long time.
Yeah, obviously that one sticks out. But we've got a very good record against Adelaide. But in saying that, this new environment, I suppose, we're in, you can pretty much chuck all that out, and it's going to be the team that performs the best on the day.
What do you reckon Diego Castro's going to do? Look, I know that he's not, for personal reasons, part of your hub, but what do you think the future looks like with him? Do you reckon he'll stick around?
I hope so. Obviously, Diego's been a great player for the football club, and that's something that he's probably got to sit down with the owner and the CEO and discuss. But the players all have his all support him in his decision that he's made. It's definitely a tough decision. Being away from our families for 5-6 weeks, in this environment, and he's got our full support for the decision he's made, and hopefully we haven't seen the last of him in a Perth jersey.
No, let's hope not, mate. Well, good luck, and we look forward to seeing you and the boys in action. Thank you very much, Liam, for having a yak to Hayes and I tonight, mate. Take care.
No problem. Thanks for having us, guys.
Liam Reddy, the Hyundai A-League is back. And don't miss the exhilarating run into the finals. Right now, Sydney FC, though, look like they've got a stranglehold on the competition. They're firmly on top, Hayes. You search A-League now, but if you go there right now, you'll see that Sydney FC are sitting on top of the table. And I think, mate, correct me if I'm wrong, they've already won the plate, haven't they?
They have, the Premier's plate. They've got that wrapped up. We know the Perth Glory got that last year. So there's other things at play here for the Perth Glory. They need to, obviously, firstly, cement their spot in the finals. A win against Adelaide will certainly help with that, but then get their squad ready for some of those big games come finals, because they could be taking on teams like the Phoenix, who they lost to on the weekend, and of course Sydney FC. Wouldn't it be great to see a return of that match?
After a short break, we're going to come back and we're going to have a chat to David Short. He's going to give us all of the latest betting odds, and we're going to get into our chase for charity, and James Broadhurst will also join us from Greyhounds WA. Stay with us. Get the pens ready. Hopefully we'll have a tip or two for you that you can bank on for the weekend, or in fact, for the rest of the week here on Sports Day. Welcome back to Sports Day. Let's get to James Broadhurst from Greyhounds WA. Welcome, mate. How are you going?
Yeah, g'day, guys. Good to be with you.
Yeah, good to have you on the program. Mermaid Benelli, winner of the Winter Sprint Final at Mandurah last Friday. Tell us about it.
Yeah, very exciting win from a electric greyhound. This dog is absolutely superb early. Her early pace is what gets her a lot of success, and last Friday night, certainly no exception. Just basically firing straight to the front, and that was all she wrote, pretty much. Her record over this 405-metre journey at Mandurah, absolutely superb. 10 wins from 11 starts over that journey. And a dog like this is very hard to run down over the short trip, so no surprises there. She heads into Cannington on Saturday night to over a 520, so longer journey. Does have a tendency to maybe a little bit weaker, be a little bit weaker over these longer journeys. She does come up against Buster Brute, who ran second to her in the Winter Sprint Final. And Buster will have a better chance over this longer journey. But look, you can be very confident that Mermaid Minnelli will be leading, but whether she can hold on again and repeat her Winter Sprint Final form, we'll see.
James, what else can we expect on Saturday at Cannington?
Yeah, another race that's a bit of a highlight for us. We head towards the Grade 5 Series final. Had three heats of those at Cannington last Saturday night. Polly Zaliana looks like the one for me. It comes in as the fastest qualifier and gets box one for the final, racing out of the Joe Daly Kennel, which is absolutely on fire at the moment. Of course, there are some other good dogs engaged there. Naughty Gun, finally seeing that show some form at Cannington. And Don't Guess was the other heat winner. So that's a highlight race. But if I had to make a selection out of that one, I'd be going with a dog out of box one, Polly Zariana.
All right. You haven't been in the best form with your tips, so it's time to switch on right now. You're going to start tomorrow night at Cannington.
Yeah, certainly. Let's hope so. The race meeting at Cannington tomorrow. Good time as ever to get a winner finally. So I'm heading towards race 7, number 2, Fabs Excise. This looks like a race in two to my mind. Fabs Excise jumping out of box 2 and Raise the Bridge in box 3. They go side by side. Look, Raise the Bridge had a very good first up win in WA last start, but Fabs Excise for me has been racing against tougher opposition. Her form's been a little bit mixed, but I think when she's at her best, she's a pretty handy dog, and that should be good enough to win this if she does perform on that level. We mentioned Joe Daly. He's been in good form to Fabs Excise out of that kennel, so hopefully he can continue his good run of form.
All right, what about our long-range tip on Friday at Mandurah?
Yeah, well, because I haven't been doing so great in these midweeks, guys, I thought I'd head towards the weekend where maybe my form's been a little bit better. And yeah, Friday night, there's a dog I really like. Well, I like this dog in general, but I like it for this weekend specifically. In race 8, the dog jumping out of box 2, Einsteinium. One of the most exciting short courses going around at the moment. Just is an up-and-coming type, but very quick. And look, if he performs at his anywhere near his best, he should be winning here. Had a little bit of an injury hiccup last few starts, but came back and won no problems at all last start at Cankton. Goes back down to Mandurah, where he's showing very good form. So I like him. Put him in the diary for Friday. Get on Einsteinium, race 8, number 2.
Beautiful, mate. Thank you very much for your time tonight. We really appreciate it. Take care, and we'll have a chat to you next week.
Yeah, good stuff, guys. Take care.
Good on you, James Broadhurst there from Greyhounds WA. Now, time to get into our Chase for Charity, which is proudly brought to you by Greyhounds WA. And Hayes, I am going to Mandurah on Thursday night, and I am going to have a multi. I am going to have my $50. This is how confident I am, Hayes. I'm going to have my $50 on race 7, number 8, Oriental Queen, which has won 15 from 19 and its last 5 on the trot. It is in ripping form, super dog, and I'm going 50 on the nose, Oriental Owen, into the next race, race number 8, number 2, Remy Minnelli. So race 7, number 8, into race 8, number 2, $50, and all of that money is going to go into that race against motor neurone disease. What about you?
I'm going to stick with James Broadhurst. He's due to get one right, so I'm going to go both these tips. We're going Cannington tomorrow night, race 7, number 2, Fabs Excise, going to back it on the nose, 25 win, and Mandurah on Friday. Race 8, number 2, Einsteinium. He's the expert. I'm backing him in, $25 win as well, Carl.
Beautiful. Our Chase for Charity, thanks to Greyhounds WA, and as I said, race against motor neurone disease. Now let's get to David Short for all the latest betting odds. Shorty, gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858 if gambling is an issue for you. Welcome, mate.
Thank you so much, Carlos Hayes. Nice to be with you, boys. Let's get into the AFL action. Very busy schedule over the next little patch. The Western Bulldogs take on Richmond in Wednesday night footy, and it's the Doggies, the 203 outsiders, Richmond at 180. We then see Melbourne taking on Port Adelaide. 165, the Power. The D's are at 225. Carlton up against Hawthorn, 152. The Blues for the Hawks at 255. Essendon up against Brisbane, 295. The Bombers. The Lions head in a warm favourite there at $1.40. North Melbourne up against Adelaide, 152. The Kangas with the Crows at 255. St Kilda, $1.40 hot pots for their clash with Sydney at 295. West Coast, $1.35 with Geelong, a $3.20 outsider. Gold Coast, $2.50. GWS at $1.53. And Fremantle, a $3 outsider for their match up against Collingwood at $1.39. Premiership betting, after another strong performance on the weekend, West Coast, they've trimmed in from $5.50 last week into $4.70 now to win this premiership. Brisbane on the second line at $6. GWS at $7. $8.50 for Collingwood and Richmond. Port at $10. $15 for Geelong. $17 for the Bulldogs. $19 the Saints. It's $29 and upwards for the rest there. And in Brownlow medal betting, Lachie Neal, stifling betting now, into $2.25 from $2.75 last week. Paddy Dangerfield at $10. $11 for Petrarca. $13 for Cripps. $15 for Gawn. Tim Kelly next in betting there at $19. And of course, when it comes to some of the other more upmarkets, when it comes to season betting, you can head to tabtouch.com.au for all of the latest there. If you don't want to get involved, you can drop into any TAB agency statewide. Log on to tabtouch.com.au or call 1-3-2-3-6-8. If you are looking to have a punt, though, please do it responsibly. All the best, fellas.
Good on you, David Short there for Tab Touch. And remember, if gambling is an issue for you, call 1-800-858-858. We'll come back and wrap up here on Sports Day next. And we finish off with On This Day for Barra and O'Day. Barra and O'Day because the little things are everything. On this day in 1932, Donald Bradman scored 202 for Australia against Somerset. And tomorrow we will have a half an hour sports day after we finish the footy, which will be broadcast live here on 882 6BR. 26 games are going to be heard live over the next 20 days. And it starts with the Western Bulldogs and Richmond on Thursday. We're taking the Melbourne Port Adelaide game, and on Friday it is going to be Essendon against Brisbane. So looking forward to those clashes over the next few days here on Sports Day. Barron O'Day, don't miss out on the little moments because the little things are everything. After the break, it'll be Chris Ilsley with Perth Tonight. We'll see you tomorrow from 7:30 here for another edition of Sports Day.